Genesis chapter 1. And for those who have been here of our regular church family for a while, you'll now breathe with a sigh of relief that we've come to the end of chapter 1. A little in-house humor there. If this weren't a church, we could say after a while that there were bets being taken as to how long the pastor would be in Genesis 1. When would we ever get to chapter 2? Well, that's my lame sense of humor, so now you know. No, bets were not being taken. At least nobody told me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to the end of the chapter. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then a couple verses out of chapter 2. Verse 8, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And verse 15, chapter 2, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, for there is nothing else like it on the face of the earth. Nothing. It alone holds the mind and the heart of God. It reveals to us everything you want us to know about time and eternity, about yourself, about that which we cannot see and that which we do, and about ourselves. And so we thank you, Lord, for it. And we pray that you would give us good understanding of it. Lord, we pray again for our country, as your word says. We should pray for those over us in authority. We pray for those who truly belong to Jesus Christ. Lord, you know. But give them courage to do what is right in honoring your word, in standing up for Christ, and in standing up for those principles that your word exalts. Righteousness exalts a nation, any nation. So, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for those who don't know Jesus in places of authority, that you will use those who do to speak to their lives, that it's not just the polls or the people they are ultimately going to be accountable to, but they themselves will stand before God. So, Lord, we pray. We pray for your blessing upon them in your will. Lord, we pray for Christians and other Christians being persecuted around the world. They do not have the freedom that we have even right here, even right now. But they're gathering together, or if they cannot, Lord, you're with them. We pray for them. There's so many countries where Christians are facing hostility of all level. It's in the news almost every day. We pray for them. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, give them grace. Give them your presence, your goodwill for them. Encourage to just stand up for Jesus. And Lord, if it comes here, would we have the same? May we do the same. And Lord, I haven't done this for a while, but publicly we pray for the nation of Israel. I pray for your work there. It's just surrounded by neighbors of hostility. We pray that your blessing would continue upon them, for your word has not been invalidated. Those who bless you, you told Abraham, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. So, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them for their sake and for Jesus' sake. And thank you for the accounts of Jews and Muslims, too, around the world coming to faith in Christ. Thank you. We pray for them. But, Lord, again, our lives here, all the things that are going on in our lives, the things that we've been through, some pretty serious and severe, physically and in other ways, for your help, please. And Lord, thank you that you are faithful. So Lord, for these, at this moment, in these moments, open our hearts, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, open the eyes of our hearts, give us understanding by your Spirit, speak to me, speak to us here. Lord, glorify yourself. We do pray in Jesus' name, amen. A well-rounded life, satisfying, fulfilling, meaningful. Lay your head on the pillow as you go to sleep and go, it's a good day. Lay your head on the pillow before you pass into eternity and go, by the grace of God, I hope it was a good life. A well-rounded life, what we want, what God wants for his children. We have seen how God has created, he's set everything up so that this world, unique, basically, and they're finding more and more in the universe, no matter what the movies say, the world is unique, the whole life. But now we've seen the creation of man, mankind, male, female. We'll get more to that. It's also in Genesis chapter 2. But God created man, male and female. So did he just create them to, in a youthful vernacular, just to hang out? Well, probably, yeah, but I would say more than that from what the scripture tells us. And if you're so old, you do not know what hang out means. Have someone under 12 tell you. They'll probably have a better definition of it than I do. Okay, three areas that cover what it is to a well-rounded life. Very simple three areas. It's to be, to do, and to have. That's it. Now that you know the message, we can close in the benediction. Sorry, it's my sense of humor. No, there's more to it than that. To be, to do, and to have. Let's start with be. Three areas cover all life. In verses 26 and 27, that I did not read, but they're just right there, when God said, let us make man in our image. Us, our, plural, in the beginning, God created God, plural term, like family, team, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved in creation. Let us make man in our image, to be an image bearer, made in the image of God. Last week we saw that means we are wired by God for relationships, for communication. Of all of God's creation, human beings can communicate the way nothing else can. Even dolphins in the ocean with all their... not the way human beings can. Communication and intelligence, understanding, moral concepts, beauty, truth, goodness, all of that. All that which leads up to, in the image of God, personhood. Now, the greatest example of personhood in all the scripture was Jesus Christ himself. Man. Fully in the image of God, the God-man. But man, human being. And in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, and we are Christ's representatives. So our example in that way is Christ. And so as Christ's representative, when people look at us physically but see our lives, hopefully they will see something of Jesus in us, character. max. Fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember? The fruit of the Spirit is Galatians 5. Do you remember? 20. Keep going. But the fruit of the Spirit is you're doing great. Thank you. Fruit of the Spirit. Good job. If I had a candy bar, I'd throw it at you. Remind me later. We got some left. We did that this past week. Fruit of the Spirit. Character. That's the life and nature of Christ through his people as it's evidenced. With love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's image-bearing. That's the character of Christ, evidence of Christ-like character. Be in the image of God. Well, that was fast. Second, have. Have. God created man in his own image. Verse 28, and then male and female, and then God blessed them, and God said to them, it's right there in verse 28, have. What are we supposed to have? Three basic things. Have, verse 28, first, have a family. And as every parent to their adult children go, and now go forth and multiply. Have kids, lots of kids. It's biblical. Yeah, but I'm not a doctor or a dentist. I can only take care of. It's all right. God will provide. God will provide. Have family. Be fruitful is what it says. Multiply. Psalm 127:5, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Psalm 128, verse 3, and your wife will be a fruitful vine. Blessings. Kids, many kids. God initiated the family. It's important to remember that. It wasn't a man-made construct. It wasn't, as we like to go back into the caveman area here, of which there was very little, except for those who were running from God. The caveman comes out of the cave in his cougar cloth and says to his wife coming out, hug, let's have a family. And she goes, hug, family, what's that? Family. Have a family. Have kids. Blessings. Oh, you want your life to be satisfied? You want your life to be full, meaningful? You want your life to be crazy at times? Have a family. You want to get out of your comfort zone? Have a family night after night after night. And just you wait. Just you wait, you parents with little kids, until they start becoming teenagers. Yes! And some who are almost teenagers are going, yes! Have a family. Have. Number one. Number two, verse 28. Be fruitful, multiply. Have dominion. Have. Dominion? Rule? Authority? How about manage with authority? Now, here it's over fish, birds, every living creature. Manage with authority. It's hard for us to imagine. Before sin, a person could ride on the back, don't have to go into the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. A person could ride on the back of a lion as easily as they could ride on the back of a donkey. But maybe a donkey's too obnoxious. The back of a gentle horse. Would you like to ride on the back of a lion? Before sin. Manage with authority over. Have dominion. That's what it means. Before sin, no death, because there was no savagery, there was no hostility. Animals were made, I believe, originally, to be of help to man. Help. And they were. And they are in some ways. For man had authority over them. To rule. Manage with authority. Third, to have. Verse 29. And God said, see, I've given you herbs and fruit from trees and such. Have food, have provisions, have those physical needs supplied. Have. That's what it says. Have. I have given to you these things. Grains, fruits, vegetables for the picking. You know, it's interesting that God made us to have food. Well, yeah. No, wait a second. He could have made a special tree in the garden and made a certain type of fruit on it that maybe looked like a coconut, let's say, coconut, big brown thing, and just said, get one of those a day, just one, it's fine, that's all you'll need. Because it's got everything you need just in that. You can eat it. It's great. And that's it. It's kind of like the original one a day. It's got all the fiber, all the vitamins, all the minerals, everything in just this big brown thing that looks like we would think of a coconut. But he didn't. He didn't. He created variety. So he created food for man. But he created us to be able to have food, variety, texture, tastes, appearance. I love blueberries. If you want me to be your special friend, no, just kidding. Make me a blueberry something. No. All the different tastes, everything God created. And in all of that, everything that we need. Now, we're going to see it's going to change. This was the original for those who want to go back to the Genesis whatever diet. It's fine. But it did change, so don't just hold your guns back in this. This is what? All right, okay, that's a different sermon. God made us to need food. It's a great gift of God. Have. Be image bearers. Have family and all the relationships that flow out of that. And then when your family has family, and then your family just families out. Family. Have family. Have managing authority over. So use your brain in those kind of things. And have your needs provided. Your needs. Now, Jesus said much about that. It's not just what we can eat, but also what we drink and what we wear. When he said, but the bottom line was, you know, well, seek first the kingdom of God. And then the things that are needed, he'll make sure you have what you need. It's more than just food. Have needs provided. Third area, do. Do. What are we to do? Well, chapter 2, verse 8. I imagine that was some incredible garden. The Lord God planted a garden. Wow. If they only had phones that could take pictures back then. So you could send it to see what a garden that God made look like. Oh, But it says the Lord God planted a garden. And then later he took the man and planted him in the garden. Put him there. Verse 15. Put him in the garden to tend and keep it. So do what? Work. Oh, again, excuse me for my lame sense of humor. I came across somewhere, saw a t-shirt where somebody has had to do, you know, it was like Shakespeare, but then it was to be Cicero or something like that. And then Sinatra, doobie doobie do. Whatever. That was cute. Do you do or do you be? Do be, do be. Whatever. To do, to work. God made a garden and told them, take care of it. Tend it and keep it. Keep it? Why? Because there's a lot of green that's growing up, which might be for the beasts of the field, but not so good for man. So keep the green out of the garden that shouldn't be there. Remember, weeds weren't yet. We haven't got to weeds yet. So keep the green grasses where they belong so they don't come in and take over your garden. Luxurious garden. Tend and keep. Work. Enough so that you have to expend your muscles. Enough so that you have to think about what you're doing. But not necessarily be exhausted over it. Tend and work. He did not say, and labor like a slave over this garden. Remember, it was one of the times that when the Israelites, before they got to the promised land after coming out of Egypt under God's hand with the direction of Moses and God in the pillar of cloud and fire leading them right up to the promised land, where when they started to grumble and complain and all, we remember how it was back in Egypt. And, but the Lord said to the people, I'm going to put you in a land that will grow, but it won't grow. And he uses an interesting phrase. In gardens that have to be tended to the way Egyptian gardens had to be, because they had to even tend and use almost cycle things that would channel the water from the Nile over and irrigate. You won't have to irrigate by hand because the land I'm giving you will receive rains from heaven. So, but here it's work, not too much to exhaust you. I think it's interesting. I thought about this at one point. Nursing homes should have gardens. Think about it. Man was set in a garden. Cities come later. Cities will come, but they'll come later. But man was set in a garden. Isn't there something about getting your hands into the dirt? And all the little boys here said, yeah, hands in dirt. And when you're really young, it's like hand in dirt, good. Right? Okay, so maybe your children were perfect and never ate any mud whatsoever. We've looked at how God put soil together, dirt, he made it earth, and it's actually a lot of nutrition in it, but I wouldn't expect you to take it your diet. But just to run your hands through, work the ground, work the dirt. Nursing homes, to go out, work in the dirt, and have gardens or potted plants or something to get the hands into the dirt. I think there would be something maybe even therapeutic about it. For man lived in a garden. It's really interesting that now, even more than ever, organic is big business. Well, of course, at $5 a tomato, you just have to raise 10,000 tomatoes and you're done for the year. You know, but organic, what's that? That's non-synthetic. So next time when you go to the grocery store, do I want a synthetic tomato or an organic tomato? Non-synthetic. And yet it's like organic. I kind of go, well, it's really the next thing to homegrown out in the garden. How many of you have ever raised a garden at one time? How many raised a garden, worked in a garden one time? Oh, we did. Goodness, we had a garden in Alberta. Our garden was probably as large as the interior of this entire room. One fall there, we pulled off. No, we kept 600 pounds of potatoes and gave away the rest, which kept our family of six, four kids, all winter long, potatoes again. Ah, it's like manna. What is this? Again, oh, potatoes. It's white potato. And then enough for seeds for the next springtime. Garden. Garden. B, image of God, relationship, communication, intelligence, personhood, have families. Well, that'll keep you busy if you're not working in the garden. Have families. And manage with authority certain things. Manage and then have provisions. Have provisions. Do. Work for those provisions. Work for them. Do. Work. Now, it's really interesting how little then man needed to live meaningfully. A life blessed of God. Be, do, have. And yet we're not in the garden anymore. We are not in the garden anymore. The three areas have been blemished, stained. Because B, if you're not bearing the image of God, what are you bearing? I would say, well, sin, but sin demonstrates in some way, just call it self. Ambrose Bierce, in the old writing, The Devil's Dictionary, what's the name of it? Self. Definition, it's a noun. It's the most important person in the universe. That it was a devil's dictionary. Self. But more up to date, dated a little bit, so many examples. Old actress, old now, been around for quite a time, Shirley MacLaine, who went off in New Age stuff, wrote this. When you look back on your life and try to figure out where you've been, where you're going, when you look at your work, your love affairs, your marriages, children, your pain and happiness, when you examine all that closely, you find out the only person you really go to bed with is yourself. So the only person you really eat with is yourself. So in the end, life must be what you do with, and I would say, and for yourself. That's a great philosophy of life, isn't it? How small a package. Self, because if we don't bear the image of God, what do we bear? The Bible says over and over, rejoice in the Lord. I have never read in the Bible, rejoice in yourself. Now, you can, self-esteem, all that's like, yeah, but you can go to seed with that as well, too. Because when we don't bear the image of God, we are likely not expressing Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit. What else is there left? The fruit of my self. Bless you. And that's not good. That's not good. B, distorted. Number two, consider distorted. The have. Consider the have, three areas. Have a family. Okay, well, now I have nothing against those who cannot have children. Cannot have difficulty, or say have difficulty. But for those who can, and it's like, saw this even yesterday, and I wondered, is it grandparents with an older teenage, young 20 son? Or is it the parents who just waited way late? Just put it off. Why? Because they're having too much fun, there's too much freedom, you start having kids, They start cutting into your lifestyle. I don't know. Maybe it's not as prevalent out here, but it is in some places in our culture. Let alone family marriage, which we will get to later. God giving the first marriage ceremony in the Bible. So let alone marriage. Okay, have distorted authority. Authority. Manage with authority. You know, some animals you can still play with. Some animals you don't want to play with whatsoever. You don't want to touch them with a 10-foot pole. Because as man sinned, and we'll see in the Bible's expresses this, as he sinned, the ripple effect just went through all of creation. Everything was affected. Even all the entire animal kingdom, quote unquote, was affected. Distorted. And over having, over even the environment, have. But the distortion, having possessions, having our needs met, having our needs met. That's why I expressed earlier, you know, it's really, when you get back into it, it's really how amazingly little that it was for the first original couple to have a well-rounded life. Now, sure, we're not in the garden, we're on this side of sin a long time. We live with it in many ways. I'm going to assume Adam and Eve never dreamed about, but it's there. But to have our needs met by God, to realize God will supply, to have what we need. It's like, no, you got to go after her. How much is enough? Okay, enough of that. Let me finish with this. A key back to a well-rounded life, a key to it. Couple keys. Number one, started with acknowledging, as the Bible does, God's authority. Start with acknowledging the authority of the Lord, that He is over all things. He is the creator. He is the owner first by reason of that He is the maker. He owns all things. He does. And the scriptures just gives example after example. When He will withdraw His breath, life will no longer be as we know. And that's how it expresses. He is the creator, and He keeps sustaining everything. Acknowledge God's authority. But that's even more specific than overall. It's over me, too. And it's over you. God's authority. Think about it. You and I have no self-inherent right to be alive. It's not there. We are one heartbeat from the end. Each of us. We have no self-inherent right to be alive. We did not make ourselves. But God was involved, even in the psalmist, he said, Even in the womb, you saw me, you know me, you know the number of my days, you know what you're building me to be. God makes every person for His plans, His purposes. From here, in the relative safety of North America, to the total opposite in places like Iran, Iraq, North Korea, for Christians, all those places. God still has a plan and a purpose for every human being, each of us. So acknowledge God's authority. Realize family. Family is a blessing from God. It is more than just genetics and natural procreation. It is a blessing from God. And more than that specifically, that God put each of us in the family of his choosing. I did not choose who I was going to be born to. And neither did you. And some of you that can be like, huh? Wow, you're kidding. But you don't know my parents. No, I don't. I know my parents. And I know a lot of everything that led to my parents and then to my brother and I. But God knew. Family. He put you in the family. And he gives you the family you have, no matter what size it is right now. He gives you the family you have. Family is a blessing for God. And do work. Work is a blessing from God. It is. Work is a blessing from God. It takes different forms in the different stages of life. Different forms. But it is still a blessing from God. But no matter what age, no matter what age of life, all of God's children can serve him by serving others. You don't have to retire from that. You can still exercise those muscles in some way, even if it's making cookies where you're serving. To do and to have that God provides. Remind yourself again, no, God does provide. He takes care. See, it's acknowledging God's authority, that he's a creator, he has authority over us as well, and that the family is a blessing from him. He's involved. And that doing, working is a blessing. And that having, God provides for our needs. Romans 8:32, rough translation. God did not spare Jesus, his own son, from going to the cross. And if he didn't do that, you think he's going to spare his own children from what they need? He will take care of what his children need. If he didn't spare his own son, how much more will he not take care of his own? That's the benchmark. That's the standard. And it doesn't get any better than him not sparing his own son. So acknowledge all these things where God says, I will bless your family. I can give you meaningful activity. I will take care of your needs. Trust me. Trust me. I mean, Jesus died on the cross before any of us were alive here, knowing that we would all start our lives and be sinners. For no one is born a Christian. That's why Jesus used the term born again. Unless a person is born again. He died on the cross. While we were yet sinners, God showed his love for us. And that through simple faith in Jesus, there's forgiveness and there's eternity. And there's eternal life, starting now, going forever. God says, I can bless your family. I can give you meaningful activity. I will take care of your needs. Trust me. Give that to me. Give it to him. Well-rounded life. Be, do, have. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Again, for your word, it's timeless. It's timeless. All it is. And I look at this and look at it again, and it's like, Lord, your word just speaks to all people everywhere, in all cultures, in all of history, to us here and now. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I don't know everybody here. I don't know they're standing before you. If they know Jesus as Lord and Savior, Lord, if they're working that through, bring them to the point. Somebody needs to talk with me or my wife about what it means to know Jesus Christ, to have forgiveness of sins, to know I shared that with someone just this past week. The Bible says we can know that we have eternal life. So Lord, if you're talking to someone here, you'll move their heart. If they're serious, if they mean it, you'll move their heart. But Lord, that we can trust you. Those of us who have trusted you for eternal life in Jesus, trusting you for eternity, for heaven and glory, that we can trust you for now. For now. And Lord, that in you and in your grace and goodness, to have a well-rounded life. Thank you. It's your blessings. And so, Lord, just help us in all this to be your image bearers, to glorify you for me, for each of us here, in word and deed. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Take your hymnal, please. Number 33, we're going to sing the last verse.